Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Be Better podcast. We are once again here at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. With me today is Rally Pro cycling rider Sarah Bergen.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Is this your first time in Vegas?
This is my first time in Vegas, yes.
Wow. Is it living up to everything you thought it would?
A little bit. I definitely came in with some expectations of craziness, and we flew in last night, and the strip was insane. So, yeah, it's living up to it for sure.
Did you have anybody tell you kind of what you should do or shouldn't do, or like you got to do this?
Yeah, I've had a couple of comments, actually, funny enough, from some of the men's management on the side of Rally. They're like, make sure you go here, make sure you go there. And then they also said, by the way, I didn't tell you that. So I won't name drop and tell you who, but there's actually, funny enough, one of them suggested that, I think it was the Thunder Down Under, which is like an Australian like dance club of some sort.
Apparently, I think I've heard it's
Magic
like
Magic Mike-esque.
Yes, yeah. That's what I've heard.
And then so I saw like a poster as soon as I arrived, and I was like, oh, geez.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I was like, here, Steve, this is what we should do. And we're both like, I don't know, like, we're both athletes. We're not here to party.
Yeah.
And we chuckled to ourselves.
And so you are not going to go?
No.
No. That's pretty
Absolutely
good.
Absolutely not.
Well, at least you. Maybe Kiersey's going to go.
Maybe. I cannot speak for her. Although yeah. We do have like a little bit of like an outing plan tonight.
Oh.
Yes.
Any insight as to where it might be or what it might be? Is there?
Yeah. So we wanted to hit a couple of things like. Actually, the cabbie kind of like that I drove in with, I was picking his brains on like what we should check out. And literally one of them is like the volcano, which I'm sure it has like a proper name, mm-hmm. but it's down the strip from our hotel.
Okay.
It's a fake volcano that explodes.
You mean it's not a real volcano
it's
here
not.
In Las Vegas?
That would be cool though. If they had a real volcano on a timer. And then there's like the Venetian and I was like, let's go on a sweet canal ride. So hopefully we can like somehow fandangle a very romantic teammate. Canal uh-huh. ride.
Would you guys hold hands?
Absolutely.
Aww.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time together, a lot of sharing like rooms and bunks and all that kind of stuff. So I'll hold her hand.
So on that note, are you guys roommates? Like I know when you guys travel, you normally try and end up pairing up because of compatibility and
yeah.
such. Do you guys travel together? Are you guys roommates normally?
So on the team, actually, it's pretty interesting. Like there is no real set roommate situation. So I've roomed with literally all of the women on the team once. Before. Sometimes it comes down to usually like schedules. So if you have a similar flight, like fly in, fly out time and date, you'll get paired up with them. So Kiersey and I, we've actually been roommates a fair bit. And just like looking back in this past year in preparations for Worlds, like we did kind of like our own pre mini camp outside of Montreal. So we trained at a Bromont Cycling Center together. We were roommates there, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, part of that has to come from both of you are Canadian.
True.
And we don't, that's not, I don't see a lot of pro-Canadian women in the Peloton.
True.
Outside of you two, how many other pro-Canadian women do you race against each year, do you see?
Yeah, so I can speak about Rally just really quickly. Rally's kind of like the enigma in the Peloton, where we are an American-based team, but out of the 13 riders, we have 6 Canadians on there.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Maple Leaf is very strongly represented on Rally. In terms of the pro Peloton, it's the usual suspects, but you see them there all the time. They're always, I don't know if it's like some sort of homing beacon, but you're like, there she is, you know, because you race against them locally at home.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see them in like a bigger field and you kind of, your eyes train for them, but.
Gotcha. It's like when you buy a car and then all of a sudden every car on the road is the car you bought.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I find track cyclists, funny enough, have the same beacon.
Really?
Yeah. So two of my teammates, Allison Beveridge and Kiersey Lay, are both track cyclists. And Allison has the track beacon. So if we're racing on the road, if there's any like other cyclists, so say like that she's competing against on the track, they do something, she's like on it.
Oh wow!
I know, it's hilarious.
Having that's pretty interesting. I never would have thought that the track beacon would have occurred.
I swear, this might be like just me like making this up, like confirmation bias, but no, it exists.
I'm gonna roll with it. I've got nothing to say that against it. So,
yeah.
Now you have a pretty interesting way that you came into cycling. Could you give us a little bit of background on how you kind of found cycling and then how you became a pro?
For sure. Yeah. So I'm relatively new to the sport. I'm just starting my second year with Rally Cycling. And if we step back now, I guess this is starting my fifth season racing. So I first started actually commuting to school. So I did my degree in architectural and building engineering technology at BCIT, which is it's a local tech school. And I would commute on my hardtail mountain bike. And like any, I guess I was like a cyclist in the making rather, because like it wasn't like an easy commute. Like it was the commuter Olympics. Like I would hit those commutes.
Commuter Olympics.
Oh yeah. Like hard. Like you're looking at the guy beside you like, I got this. And he's like, why are you riding a hardtail mountain bike? You are silly. And I was like, this is the best.
Yes.
These shocks lock out.
So, yeah. Oh, totally taking you.
Oh man. So yeah. So that's where I kind of got an appetite for cycling. I was like, kind of hooked. I was like, there's this freedom and there's speed associated, which I was like very much into. So when I graduated, I had a little bit of money left over from a research grant, actually, and I invested in a road bike.
Oh.
Yes.
And so kind of like every time you get your first in something, do you remember that first bike vividly? Does it have some sort of fond piece of memory with you?
It's fantastic. So the bike lives on, which is great. Yeah. So one of my best friends, her girlfriend now has it and rides it all the time, which I'm just so happy that it has this longevity. So yeah, the bike, it was a Super 6 Cannondale. And yeah, I rode that for the first 2 years.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. And now what bike do you ride?
Yeah. So now I'm happily with Diamondback, and I can't say really enough about like how happy I am with that bike.
What's like, when you think about the things that you would say, like the top couple things that you like about the bike itself, knowing that you've ridden a number of different bikes, what are some of the things that really pop out to you with it?
So I guess off the top of my head, it would be twofold. So first of all, it's really a responsive bike. And for me, like as a racer, like you want your bike to go where you point it pretty much, but it's just like a tight and responsive bike. So that was my first feedback on that. And almost following that into climbing, like it kind of is like a nice poppy, like, you know, like out of the saddle, quite responsive bike. Personally also, like, I really enjoy the finish. Like, I like a nice, clean black with the orange detailing. Like, I'm not sure what our 2018 is going to look like, but it's a sleek bike, and, yeah, I appreciate that.
It looks good, doesn't it?
It looks,
I mean,
sharp.
They did a nice job with the paint, and that's not always the case. I mean, there are a lot of bikes out there that are, like, a little, I don't want to say sloppy, but they just look like the paint was a secondary thought, where it feels like Diamondback actually put the emphasis in not just having a good quality machine, but a very nice looking aesthetic to the exterior.
Absolutely. And someone who's like was trained in design, I am like, I don't want to say a snob, but I definitely have my eye out for that. And the simplicity and cleanliness of it, it's I think it's sharp.
Oh, it's great.
And it matches well, like the orange and the black, bam.
It's amazing how that just happens, isn't it?
I know. It's like they bought it.
It's like they totally just picked it out.
Yeah.
So here at CES, we've been kind of celebrity shopping today.
And
I've got to give it up to you that you have like some real go-givenness with the celebrities. Like today, you and Dr. Oz, you were on him like a stalker.
I'd like to call it like a super fan would be a better phrase.
Now, were you a super fan of Dr. Oz? No.
I'm sorry. Dr. Oz, actually, I have watched his show.
Okay.
And there was a lot of buzz about Dr. Oz last night. I went to the speaker's dinner, and everyone was talking about Dr. Oz, and we're like, it would be really great to get Dr. Oz, like, on a bike for this cause that we're riding for. Like, we're riding to raise money for kids for the
Boys and Girls Club of Southern Nevada.
Thank you, yeah. And I was like, we got to get Dr. Oz on a bike. We got to. So we were talking to Dr. Roy, not Dr. Oz, of the sleep booth beside us, and we're like pretty much formed a team in order to try to get Dr. Oz on the bike.
Yeah.
So despite our many efforts in my somewhat persistent controlling, I was not successful, but I did get a sweet signed photograph with him.
Is that going to be highly coveted, and will that travel with you to every race this year?
So we should probably start this as like some sort of good luck moment. I don't know, because I sent a picture. There's a group chat with all the women right now who are in Oxnard, and I was like, by the way, famous, and I have a selfie with Dr. Oz. And they're like, that's not a person. I'm like, whatever.
That's not a person. That's just a signed photo.
So I've definitely contemplated like it, maybe like taping it like to the bike as like motivation for other cyclists coming by the booth.
Oh yeah.
And like you too could get a signed photograph with Dr. Oz.
I think you put it right across the front of your handlebars, and every time somebody sees you, boom, there it is.
Yeah, just like a front plate, like on mountain bike race.
Oh, I think I truly see Dr. Oz following you throughout the rest of your... I know that as a not only just a, you know, a guru, but a cycling fan, that I am going to be probably making a Dr. Oz fathead.
Yes.
And if I see you at a race, I'm going to be throwing it out there that Dr. Oz says go harder.
This is fantastic.
And so hopefully it doesn't throw you off your game.
No.
But it will be there.
I am the master of Zen.
You were.
And no giant heads of Dr. Oz will throw me off my game.
Well, we'll see. You're a big talker, Betty Crocker, right now,
man.
But things could happen.
I talk smack, and I tried to get Shaq also, which kind of rhymes, which is really funny, on a bike.
Well, yeah, because Shaq walks by, and it's like, it was huge. And
literally,
he's huge.
He, like, is physically quite large.
And you just jumped up and chased him down.
I did run after him, and his handler was slightly shocked, but I did introduce myself as an athlete. I was like, well, maybe we'll have some common ground there.
Yep.
I'm an athlete with Rally Cycling. Please come by the booth, turn some pedals for a good cause. And he paused and he thought about it.
Oh.
And he tapped me on the back and he said, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So I'm like, I got your number. I don't, but.
Well, you don't have his number.
But like, you know.
He said, I got your back.
Yeah.
The icy hot patch is here for when you're done.
Exactly.
You know, because that would be part of it. Now, what do you think you'd actually fit on one of our bikes?
Arguable. So, like spatially, he would fit on it. Whether or not he would have a good, like, fit, like, ergonomically, probably not.
No. Would you be worried about his overall body weight doing any damage to the bike?
No.
Really?
I would not.
Well, you're not paying for it if it does. I will be responsible.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
oh,
seriously.
Man.
Those would be on my insurance.
So you're like, Sarah, do not get Shaq on a bike.
Well, no. You know, would it be worth it? Maybe.
I feel like the bike manufacturer, it's a good story. And if...
Shaq broke your bike.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But he's got your back.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would... Do you think he would like just float a check and say, I got it, don't worry? Or do you think he'd be like... You know what? I'm a celebrity. I can do whatever I want.
No, I think he's a pretty cool dude. In my, like, very limited interaction with him, which was about a second, I got, like, good vibes.
You
and
did.
Then, yeah, I think he's a kind soul, and he wouldn't, like, I'd be like, dude, like, you don't want to undercut our good cause. And I feel like he would be a friend to the cause.
Remember when we were just talking at the booth back there?
We're pretty much besties.
You are. I mean, like, you guys are tight.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I know nothing about your sport.
Hey, good luck in the football season.
You're like, you play hockey? I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding.
You play hockey. No.
Canadian.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, do you follow hockey?
No.
No, because that's a serious stereotype, because I'm a huge hockey rube, hockey fan.
Yeah.
And but you don't follow hockey at all.
I don't. I did in the past, and the reason is my cousin actually played hockey at, like, a fairly high level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was actually, funny story, my cousin was the captain of the Canadians women's Olympic team.
No way.
Yeah, so I think she's a four-time Olympic gold medalist.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to name drop Cassie Campbell. I don't know if anyone knows that name out there, but yeah, so I followed hockey when she was competing for sure.
Well, that's great. Yeah, well, so you're from Vancouver.
Yeah.
So Canucks, in case you didn't know, that's the team from your town.
Thank you.
Yeah, so they're you know, they're a pretty decent team.
Mm.
Vancouver's a beautiful city, by the way.
Very true.
So home is Vancouver for you still.
That's correct.
When you're riding, do you have favorite places to ride when you're at home?
Yes, absolutely. So my go-to, I kind of have, so the Sea to Sky Highway is like north of Vancouver towards Whistler.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm like one of the few crazy people who like really enjoys riding it. It's like spectacular. So that's kind of my go-to training ride. The train's great. It is like a varying like rolling climbs and then getting into some longer climbs. Also, like, the North Shore, there's tons of climbing there as well, which is hilarious because I'm not really, like, a climbing specialist at all, and I've just named all these climbs for you, but, yeah. But, yeah, and then there's always, like, the really easy days are, like, Stanley Park. Like, I live, like, 2 kilometers away from Stanley Park. 3 loops equals about an easy hour, so I definitely can be seen a lot of the times doing hot laps at Stanley Park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So, if you were to ever move from Vancouver, do you have, like, a place where you would want to move to?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So, my mom lives in Pemberton, which is north of Whistler,
mm-hmm.
for anyone who's familiar. So, it's a smaller town. So, definitely, I would move north kind of along the Sea to Sky corridor. So, either Squamish or Pemberton.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I'm a huge fan of, like, the outdoors and kind of, like, a smaller town. So, I could see myself moving towards, yeah, the mountains pretty much.
Do you ski at all?
Sure do.
Ski or snowboard?
So I cross-country ski.
Okay.
And I would call myself a snowboarder. However, oh. I started skiing, so I can definitely hack it on the skis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So skis weren't your primary. They were snowboarding was.
Exactly. So where there's always this conversation. So say if you're doing any like backcountry stuff, it's like split boards can sometimes be cumbersome. So I'm like, should I just go back to skiing and like get better at skiing? But every time I think about it, I'm just like, I'm just a better boarder. Like I can manage a snowboard like way better than I can skis. So
do you skateboard at all?
Nope.
No.
Just too many consequences of pavement.
It's coming from a cyclist.
Snow is forgiving. I was like, man.
Yeah, have you seen enough cycling or enough pavement contact in your pro career?
Yeah, I've been actually relatively fortunate. Like over this span, like I have had only one kind of major injury, which was I crashed myself in Gila last year, which was my own doing. So
do tell a story.
Oh, it's a great story. I'm like, I don't know, I want to repeat it, but I did do it to myself. So I crashed myself in the final kilometer of the time trial. Yeah, so if anyone is familiar with like going so hard you're kind of cross-eyed, that is what I was doing.
Really?
Yeah, so last K, for those who aren't familiar, the Gila TT, I think it's like 26 kilometer out and back.
Mm-hmm.
You climb up 9K up on the way out, and it rolls, and you turn around, and it's a screaming fast downhill on the way home.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm coming in hot, like literally, that's the terminology is I would apply here. And within a K, they have these kind of big, like literally human-sized cones.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is where this goes. In the middle of the road, like there's two lanes in the same direction.
Okay.
And I guess they're going to use the road for other, like a different course, like later on with like another field. So maybe the Cat 2 Men or something. But so pretty much you just need to be in the right lane to finish.
Okay.
Road banks, hard left, big, sweeping left turn. I'm in the left lane. I'm going to make my way over to the right to finish. Boom. Everything's great. Cool. So I make my way over to the right lane. Problem free. And literally, unfortunately, so cross-eyed, I drift back into a cone.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I clip a cone going like over 75k an hour.
Yep. How fast is that in miles per hour for American friends?
I don't know.
Friends?
It's like, fast. It's
times super fast. 100 miles an hour.
Let's say that. That sounds cool.
I like that.
Yeah, 100 miles an hour flying off a bike. And it doesn't, it's the other way. But yeah, so yeah, I crashed and I don't know if it's like, I didn't put my hand down because usually I broke my collarbone, but usually those come from when you plant your hand.
Yep.
I just tucked and rolled, but I just hit so fast, so hard that that was the end of that. But for whatever it's worth, I remember this so vividly. Like, I got up and I was like, well, this really sucks. Like, I just crashed myself. The race is almost over. And I'm like, well, on the off chance I'm not completely broken, if I finish this race, I can start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, I'd been having like a really good Gila. And I was like, yeah, like, if I finish, I could totally get it together for tomorrow. So I'm like, Zach, who's our manager, runs out. They're in the follow car. They've just seen me, like, fly through the air, like, many, many feet.
Yep.
And I'm like, Zach, I need a spare bike, man. He's like, what? He's like, your collarbone's touching your ear. Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I need a spare bike. So he's like, okay, so brings out my spare bike. And I'm like, well, it's a kilometer. It's downhill. I can roll to the finish.
Yep.
And we can figure it out after.
Absolutely.
So, hopping on the bike, hop on the road bike, finish the race. And I was like, I don't know what would make me feel better if I had, like, a really terrible riding crash or if I had, like, a really good riding crash. I come over the line, and I think I finished, like, 20th or something.
Wow.
So I had a really good ride. And I was like, I will take some solace in this.
Yeah.
And then so I crashed myself out.
Oh.
Broke my collarbone, took off some skin, but came back from it really strong, so.
Is that your worst injury you've ever had?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long were you out for?
Not too long. I was very sad to miss Tour California because that was directly after, but I came back for North Star and Team Time Trial Camp, so end of Gila, so I want to say a month and a bit, a little over.
Okay.
It was a relatively quick turnaround.
Was it hard mentally to be injured and just kind of seeing your team racing and just being laid up?
It was definitely a challenge. It was a challenge for sure. There's no way it wasn't, but I definitely, like, our team's really close, like, both the men and then the women as well. And seeing them excel at these races was definitely motivation for me. So I saw, like, Rob, like, crushing it at TOC. You know, I saw people having great rides at Redlands. And, like, you're sending them text messages. You're like, yeah, like, this is awesome.
Oh, that's great.
And for me, like, I definitely made, like, a very focused decision. I'm like, I can't control, like, what has happened. I'm like, I can only control like how I approach recovery.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm approaching this like it's my job. So I hit recovery like is like in the most logical, the way I thought at least, the logical and like consistent approach possible. So.
Well, that's, I mean, it is your job. I mean,
yeah,
so,
very
it's
much
just,
so
it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Did you ever contemplate like going to the race and just being there, not racing, obviously, but just being as part of the team, like handing out bottles in the car or,
so,
you know,
if I thought I could contribute like in a meaningful way, like totally. However, our staff's fantastic.
Yeah.
And to be honest, to have like a one wing chick running around, like though entertaining. And
yes,
I'm
exactly.
Like
I was going to say, you bring some other things to the table besides
from
just
like
your
a,
one arm.
Yeah. From my like super awesome, like I could be like some sort of, I don't know, like, I don't know.
You could have chased down celebrities and had them get in the car.
That's true. They'd be like, this girl's injured. She needs help. Let's help her out. But, so no, I would say just because I knew they were in such good hands, I was like, the best thing I can do is to prepare myself and come back for a strong North Star. Team time trial was a huge goal for the year for the team, and we won the U.S. National Championship. So I'm
congratulations.
Like,
congratulations. That was awesome.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Lots of fun. So I was like, yeah, the best thing I can do is put myself back together and come back and be the best teammate possible.
Oh, that's great.
It was fun. Got
so,
it done.
So I'll be remiss if we didn't talk and discuss the Worlds from last year. So at what point did it kind of click that Worlds was going to be in Bergen?
Well, they clicked in Qatar the year before. So okay. I represented Canada in 2016 in Qatar, and they released like the thing. And I was like, I remember that day it came out. It was right after the race. I sent my coach the link, and I was like, well, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is the goal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to my friggin' namesake in Norway for sure. Yeah. So it was literally like a year before it was on my radar, like in a huge way.
And so you had not only just, there was like a kind of a campaign that kind of came out of this, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was kind of a little bit of a pet project of mine. I worked with a local designer. He's a super cool dude. His name's John Wood, and he does like a lot of graphics work. And I was like, hey, would you be willing to help me out with some like a really, I don't know, like something that kind of cheeky, like we can work on like a little bit cheeky, like a fun phrase or like a graphics that I could just bump out there, because I'm like, this is like one in a million, like why not? He's like, totally. So he came up with a really cool design. We like made some t-shirts, made some hats, opened an online store. We're like, people, you want to like invest in this, why not? It's fun. I think the design looks sleek. And then it was cool because the Norwegian media like were really supportive of it too.
And they jumped right on it. I mean,
they showed up at the airport and they're like, let's have these interviews in like kind of broken English, which I'm like 100% game for, like underneath the sign that just says Bergen. And they're like, welcome. And I was like, do I get the keys to the city? I'm like, or can you guys like adopt me? Because Norway's fantastic.
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And so how was your experience there?
Oh, outstanding. Yeah, I can't say enough. Like our team, we had like a really, really great team. So we had Leah Kirchman, we had Carol Ann, Allison Jackson, Kirsty, myself, and Lex Albrecht. And we were really working. I'm going to speak about the race.
Yeah.
Not about the city. The city is awesome and beautiful too. But yeah, it was great to come in and be able to support Leah and Carol Ann. We're kind of like our two main like riders we were working towards. So it was fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like the crowds and the course did not disappoint.
That's great. I mean, because sometimes have you seen where the crowds can be like not supportive? Like you're racing and you're like, hey, does anybody even care that we're here?
It was really, in a way for me, like it felt like my first Worlds because I raced in Qatar the year before, but it was almost because it was so like separate from Europe, right? Like not, there wasn't like a really like a big crowd scene there.
Yeah.
Well, in Norway, like the whole loop was lined. Salmon Hill was like a party zone. Like the finish was like, I don't know, like the craziest concert I've ever been in. Just slammed with people.
Wow.
It was such an experience. And just I felt like this is like my first introductions to Worlds, even though I'd raced previously the year before.
Yeah.
And like that like set like a pretty good fire in me too. Cause I was like kind of confirmed. I'm like, I want this. Like I want to do this. Like
this kind of sealed the deal.
Oh, 100%.
So where's Worlds this year?
So it is in Austria. Yeah, the city name eludes me right now. This is terrible.
All right.
It's not Bergen, Austria.
No. Is that on your radar? Is that one of the goals for you this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what's the process for you to be able to make the select team?
Yeah, so it's going to come down to race results and having a strong season.
Okay.
There's been a pretty significant amount of prep going in already. it's definitely a different course. Like, we've looked at course profiles.
It's a pretty hilly course, isn't it?
Very much
mountainous
so.
Course, almost.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to hopefully be able to support, like, one of our stronger Canadian climbers in that.
Okay.
But I definitely have a couple secret climbing cards in my pocket. So
what?
I know. What? I know. This is hilarious. I was going to say, probably one of the... After coming back from my injury, there's two, like, of the results that, like, are just close to my heart, but... What I call it, like, the secret climber win, it was probably, like, one of, like, the funniest moments ever.
What was that? Do tell.
So this is in Cascades. For those who don't know, it's, like, a pretty, like, hilly, like, stage race. Like, there's big mountaintop finishes and that kind of stuff. So it was second road race. I think it's McKenzie Pass or something, road race. And it finishes with, like, a 9 or 10K climb. Like, it's significant, and okay. You climb all day. And I'm in the sprinter's jersey. At this point, I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm in a break now at the end. So I got in the second break. Like, there was a breakout all day. It came back. So it comes back. We go, like, launch attacks. And then I'm like, I can climb just fine. Yeah, so I was feeling I had a really good day. And then it kind of, because I'm, I don't know, I find things entertaining. But I'm like, I'm in the green jersey. And I'm like, I can put this away.
Yeah. So who was, at that point, who was in the QOM?
So the QOM... If it wasn't Sarah Poitevin, I think it was, her name, this is terrible.
But they weren't in the break with you.
No, they weren't. So we had isolated them.
So you guys gambled,
yes,
and it paid off.
So at that point, Yellow had swung back to 2020, because we had Yellow after stage one.
Okay.
Ali Dragoo took it in stage two in the TT, but Sarah and Kirsty were, like, super close up. I think they were, like, within a couple seconds of her.
Okay.
Yeah, within, I think, 20 seconds. But she wasn't in the break either. And then, yeah, so the second break went. And they're pretty much those, like, the top five, top four were isolated from it. So, yeah, it's great. Because, like management was like, we kind of have confidence in you. Like, Zach was like, I see you. I think you can put it away. Which is sweet when your team's like, we have confidence in you. And you're like, yeah, let's do it.
I got mad skills. You should know that. There should be no surprise.
Which is why I'm just like, I remember finishing and I'm like, I'm a secret climber. They're like, how did you feel? I'm like, I don't know. I'm in the sprint jersey and I just climbed this mountaintop finish. It's fantastic.
Well, that's got to bring you a lot of confidence too, especially like, you know, as a, I would say you could legitimately be a younger rider.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be intimidating and maybe not knowing your full potential because you're still growing.
Yeah,
You're still developing as a rider. And that's got to be one thing that's really going to help kind of put you along. But now you've also showed your hand.
I know. So delete. I'm terrible at climbing and yes. even worse
oh,
at
you
sprinting.
Know, if you would be better at climbing, you'd be such a better rider.
Oh, man.
Because you just blow at climbing now. No. But now people are going to know that. And so maybe if that, knowing that, maybe that break next time may not be allowed to go. Where they may have not kind of estimated you could pull off something like that.
Which is the best part about, like, this sport is, like having the team there and having, like, six cards to play.
Yeah.
Like, something's going to go.
That's exciting.
And we're going to attack, and we're going to attack. And, like, you know, something's going to splinter. Someone's going to get tired, which is, like, the fun of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if someone's else up the road, if Poito's up the road, if Kirsty's up the road, you're like, yeah, we're going to be supporting, like, that break, like, for sure, because we have confidence that our teammates can put away the win.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the best things about cycling. Not only is it, the openness of it, like the approachability of riders and the availability to get, like, almost right in the mix of it, but that it's not as predictable as a lot of other sports.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many things that can happen. Well,
cool.
Well, I would like to...
Oh, geez, the quiz?
This is the quiz time.
Oh, I can see the paper. There's names. Oh, geez.
There's not names. There's just words.
Oh,
so this is just kind of how we kind of wrap things up a little bit fun. We did this. I did this with Katie. So we'll kind of compare and contrast you personally. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two words, and I'm going to ask you to choose what is your preference or what you find best to you. Now, this comes from Prince Harry,
yeah,
who's interviewing President Obama doing this.
This is excellent.
This
okay.
is not exactly what he said, but these are kind of my adaptations of that.
Okay.
So this is going to be a compare and contrast.
So I just choose a word.
Exactly.
I don't say, like, what.
Well, I might have a follow-up question to it.
Okay.
So beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Rolling Stones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why not the Beatles?
I like rock.
Okay, I like that. I'm a Rolling Stones guy, too. Espresso or cappuccino?
Ooh, espresso.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Wars.
Ooh. Do you have a favorite Star Wars character?
Ooh, yeah, Yoda.
Really?
Yeah, he's so thoughtful.
He is. So insightful. Were you excited to see that Yoda came back as like a real puppet in the last one?
Yeah. He did all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, because he was not CGI in this last. Did you see the last Star Wars movie?
Like the very, very last one? Like
yes.
The most? No, not.
The one.
No, I haven't seen this
the
one.
The Last Jedi?
I saw the one where they went to the Death Star and then what's his face died or she died. Someone
wait,
died.
Wait, spoiler alert.
This is years ago.
No, it was way back in the day. So the new one, so they bring Yoda back in the new Jedi movie.
I haven't seen this one.
Oh, but he's the original Yoda. Remember when Empire, when Yoda was actually like a puppet?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that.
He's so cute too in a weird like kind of like hobbit way.
He's kind of like your grandpa. You know,
yeah.
He's got hair coming out of his ears. He's so wise, but yet, you know, he kind of does things to make you embarrassed.
And it's insane because he lays it down too.
He does. He can totally slay.
Don't mess with Yoda.
Mechanical or electric shifting?
Ooh, electric.
Okay. Vacation or staycation?
Vacation.
Beer or wine?
Cider.
No, it's...
I broke the rules.
You don't get to choose something off the grid.
Damn.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
All right. In tic-tac-toe, X's or O's?
X.
Everybody says X.
It's just a nicer symbol.
It does sound, it seems more pronounced.
Yeah.
Comedy or drama?
Drama.
Okay. Gum or mints?
Gum.
Do you have a favorite kind of gum?
No, not really. I'm chewing some Trader Joe's gum right now.
Ooh.
Hopefully that's not like irritating for people.
Smack, smack, smack.
Oh,
we'll get it out in post-production. How does that sound? Apple or Android?
Apple.
Yeah. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Do you have any pets?
No, I wish. My roommate had some great whippets, though. I'm a huge fan. They're cute.
All right. Crossword or Sudoku?
Crossword.
Burgers or pizza?
Burgers. Which is weird because I'm a vegetarian.
I know, you kind of wince on that, but you can... Yeah,
you can get a veggie burger.
Veggie burger.
Yeah.
Those are like black bean burger?
Yeah, black bean or like mushroom based.
They're getting better,
delicious,
aren't they?
Delicious, yeah. I'm
getting
a fan.
Better. Now, the last one is going to be how I define our friendship going from this point forward.
No pressure.
Okay, no pressure, but it is, there's a lot of weight on this one.
I like it. Let's
hear
it.
You ready for this? Biggie or Tupac?
Tupac.
Yes, high five. West Coast love. I love that. It's like, that is all about
it.
That is all about it.
Oh, true fact, I love rap.
Do you?
Some secret closet rap fan. But a lot of newer stuff, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like Tupac kind of like embodied the culture of it.
I agree.
He was there.
I do agree.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to sign us off here.
Cheers.
You know, I cannot thank you enough for coming by. I get to see you tomorrow as well,
true
which
that.
Is awesome. So, you know, that's going to be the bomb. But thank you for being such a great rider and you know, good luck and best wishes for this year.
Why, thank you. And thank you for the time. It's been fun.
All right. Thanks.
Cheers.
Now, baby, let me be honest. Don't know what you need, but I want things. But I'm back in the middle, and they keep the loving coming. But I can't seem to get it right, and I go through this every night. And it's wrong, or is this alright?